Hey everyone, this is like take two for this audio. So, take one, I was gonna say my favorite thing was to play Hamlet, but then the more I talked about it, I realized that although I do like the play very much, I actually just really love this one monologue from the play. It's actually Claudius's monologue when he is trying to pray for his acts of sin. So here we go. Number one, what is your favorite thing? My favorite thing, like I said, it is this monologue from Claudius, King Claudius. Give us the elevator pitch. How would you sell someone on it in 15 seconds? Okay, I would say that it really shows another side to a villain character, whereas these days it's very one-sided, and it shows how even, yeah, I think that's it. I guess if I had more time to expand on it, I would say that, you know, villains nowadays have very one-sidedness to them. And I really like the idea that in this monologue, we can see a softer side to Claudius, whereas throughout the whole play, he is like this, oh, we have to, you know, we have to kill Hamlet, I have to keep my place as king, I have to keep my queen, and stuff like that, but when it really comes down to it, he really regrets to some degree what he did to his brother. Number three, describe your favorite blank in 5 words or less. Remorse, but not really. Hubris, or in an English term, English lit term, libido dominandi, where a character tries to play God and fails miserably at it. Three, humanity. I guess. For every man. Five. It's just beautiful. Like, the language, it's awesome and breathtaking. So yeah, those would be my five. Shoot, what did I say? Remorse, hubris, humanity, every man, and beautiful language. There we go. Four, why is it my favorite? Okay, so I'm gonna go on this whole spiel about it. Like I said before, it's my favorite because it really shows another side to a villain character. So I'm gonna recap the play. So Hamlet comes back from school and Horatio, his friend, who says, there are more things in heaven and earth than is dreamt. No, wait, sorry, Hamlet said that, but whatever. Horatio comes up to Hamlet and says that his father's ghost has been seen around the castle. And what the ghost is trying to say is that he has been wrongly killed by his own brother, Claudius, who is now king. And so throughout the play, Hamlet is trying to find, quote unquote, the right time to kill Claudius, which shows an act of hubris and libido dominandi. Like, he's trying to play God when he shouldn't, and in the process he's killing a whole bunch of people. Like, another side story to this is he kills Ophelia is one true love. And it's just saddening to see that happen. And anyways, yeah, okay, so I'm going on a tangent. In the middle of the play, we see Claudius kneel down in front of an altar, and he's trying to pray to God, and he says this most beautiful monologue, and it's just, I don't know, it's just breathtaking. Okay, so the monologue, for those of you who want to know, starts off as, "Oh, my offense is rank, it smells to heaven, it hath the primal eldest cursed upon it, a brother's murder." Like, he knows what he did is so wrong. He refers it back to Cain and Abel, like, back to, like, the very first story of a murder in the Bible. And we see, throughout the monologue, we see him trying to find some peace of mind and find grace in God's eyes for what he has done. But he can't. He's having this inner dialogue between himself. So on one hand, he's trying to find that remorse, that regret, and that grace. But on the other hand, there's that pride factor that comes into play, where he starts saying, let me see. So he's trying to pray. So he says, "Whereto serves mercy but to confront no? And what's in prayer but this twofold force to be forestalled ere we come to fall or pardon being down? Then I'll look up, my fault is past." So he's saying that, like, even though he did this heinous murder of killing his brother, like, he is sure that God will forgive him, because that's what God is. God is forgiving. And then he says, "But I'll look up, my fault is past." But then he goes on to say, "But oh, what form of prayer can serve my turn?" He knows that the murder is a huge sin. So huge that he thinks that there is no prayer in this world that God would listen to and, you know, forgive him for his sinful act. And then he goes on to say, "Forgive me my foul murder? That cannot be, since I am still possessed of those effects for which I did the murder." So this is where the pride comes in. "My crown, mine own ambition, and my queen." So the three reasons why he killed his own brother was because he wanted to be king, his pride got in the way, and his ambition, and he wanted to marry Gertrude, Hamlet's mom. Yeah. And then he goes on to say, like, in the corrupt occurrence of this world, he knows that everything around him is sinful, and offenses gilded hand may shove by justice, and oft 'tis seen the wicked prize by itself buys out the law, but 'tis not so above. So he's saying that, like, here in this world, we are able to I don't know where I was going with that. Anyways, he goes on to say, "But 'tis not so above. There is no shuffling. There the action lies in its true nature, and we ourselves compelled, even to the teeth and forehead of our faults, to give an evidence." So, like, he's saying that even though in this world we are able to cover up our mistakes and our sins, in God's eyes and in heaven, we aren't able to do so. And okay, this is sounding very preachy, so I'll just stop. Number 5, how has your life changed because of it? For example, has it helped you make any decisions or change your way of thinking? Yeah, it has actually. I used to have this one-sided thought of people who weren't like me were not necessarily evil, but I just didn't think of them as another human. I know that sounds very harsh, but I don't know any other way to put it. But you know, after reading this, it's like you can't really judge a person based solely on their actions or the way they look. Like with Claudius, he might look like, on one hand, he might look like this, you know, really loving guy, but he killed his own brother. Or he killed his own brother, but, you know, somewhere deep down inside him, he's really trying to find peace in that, and hoping that someone, at least someone, would forgive him for doing such an act. Okay. Number 6. Surely you've met or seen online people who hate this monologue. What do they usually say about it? Is it fair? I don't think I've seen people hating on this. It's not a very well-known monologue. Hamlet is very famous for its monologues, such as To Be or Not to Be, and possibly Ophelia's monologue too, and Polonius's monologue to his son Laertes about being a grown-up man in this world. And there's something about condoms in there too. So I can't really answer number 6. All right, number 7. How did you first hear about this monologue? In high school, I was a junior and I read Hamlet for the first time in my language arts class. And I was really glad I did, because so for a language arts project, at the end of when we finished reading the play, we had to choose a monologue, a couple lines, I think maybe like 10, 15 lines from the play, memorize it, and present it to the class. Because my language arts teacher was very into like public speaking and all that crap. And I loved the play so much that I went above and beyond this assignment, and I memorized the full monologue. Memorized the full monologue, Claudius' monologue, and I haven't forgotten it since. 8. If you had a full budget to turn this monologue into a movie or make a sequel / remake it, it is a movie, how would you do it? Hamlet has been made into many movies and plays. I don't know, I never really thought about this. Yeah, I don't know. Well, if I think of something, I'll maybe make another audio, but for now, I can't think of anything. 9. What reminds you of this monologue? A a lot of movies nowadays or TV shows, like I said before, a lot of the entertainment now is the villains are very one-sided. I don't know if it's because of the time constraint or whatever, but I find myself whenever I'm watching these movies or these TV shows, it brings me back to Claudius's character and this monologue. And while I'm watching the movie or the TV show, I'm trying to find a little bit of humanity within that villain. I'm always trying to search for clues, and sometimes I get disappointed because I can't find it. But, you know, it makes me more aware of why these villains are doing what they're doing. And it's all thanks to Claudius. Number 10. Alright, last chance. Why should we like your favorite blank? I keep saying favorite, but I'm just reading this. Why should we like your favorite monologue, and what kind of people should stay away from it? I think you should like it because it's very relatable. Like, I wouldn't call myself a villain, but I wouldn't call myself a good person, like a hero either, but I find myself from time to time acting like a villain to certain people around me, and then I'm trying to, no, I'm not saying this right. I think it just makes people very aware of other people and not just judging people by the way they look or how they act or based on their actions. There's always something deeper inside that person that causes them to behave the way they behave, etc., etc. And it's just a gentle reminder that not everything is what it seems on the outside. And what kind of people should stay away from it? I don't think anyone should stay away from this monologue. I mean, like, unless you, like, hate the way Shakespeare writes, then sorry. Maybe Spark notes it. Alright, those are my 10 questions. And then the next 5. If this monologue is a book, graphic novel, comic book, what is your favorite part and why? So since I just chose a monologue, this is kind of hard. I'm trying to find what part of the monologue I like. Okay, I would say it's in the beginning, the first couple lines. So I'm just gonna say it to you guys because it's my favorite. Oh, my offenses rank, it smells to heaven. It hath the primal eldest curse upon it, a brother's murder. Pray can I not, though inclination be as sharp as will, my stronger guilt defeats my strong intent. And, like a man to double business bound, I stand in pause where I shall first begin and both neglect. Oh, okay, this is my favorite part. What if this cursed hand were thicker than itself with brother's blood? Is there not rain enough in the sweet heavens to wash it white as snow? Whereto serves mercy but to confront the visage of offense? And what's in prayer but this twofold force to be forestalled ere we come to fall or pardoned being down? Then I'll look up. My fault is past. But, oh, what form of prayer can serve my turn? Forgive me my foul murder? That cannot be, since I am still possessed of those effects for which I did the murder, my crown, my known ambition, and my queen. And I'm going to stop there before I start reciting the whole thing, but the part where I say, what if this cursed hand were thicker than itself with brother's blood? Is there not rain enough in the sweet heavens to wash it white as snow? Like, the imagery and the language, it's just so beautiful. It's so beautiful, guys. And it just pulls on my heartstrings every time I read it or every time I think about it. Second question. Where in the local Barnes & Noble would I find your book? Do you agree with that categorization? I think there's a dedicated Shakespeare section. And yes, I would agree, I guess. I mean, it's from Hamlet, so I don't think this question really applies. Number 3, what can you tell us about the author and his or her other works? Shakespeare is great, actually. There's that one sonnet about his dick that I really love. And he also did the first I Did Your Mother joke. I forget which play it was in. But, and I forget their names. Person A says, "Villain, what hast thou done?" Person B, who is the brother of person A, says, "Thou hast undone our mother." And then person C goes, "Thou..." Oh wait, no, I messed up. Okay, person A and person B are brothers. So person A goes, "Villain, what hast thou done?" And then person C, who's the villain, goes, "Undo." Person B, the brother of person A, says, "Thou hast undone our mother." And then the villain, person C, goes, "Villain, I have done thy mother." And it's just like, ah, you did not just say that. Number 4. Finish this sentence. "We will probably like this book if we also like..." I don't know. Action, drama, and comedy novels? That was lame. And last but not least, is there a specific phrase or quote from the book that is your absolute favorite? What is it and why that? I think this question is begging me to recite the whole monologue, which I will do. So if you guys want to stop the audio, be my guest. Or if you want to listen on, also be my guest. So here we go. "Oh, my offenses rank, it smells to heaven. It hath the primal eldest curse upon it, a brother's murder. Pray can I not, though inclination be as sharp as will, my stronger guilt defeats my strong intent. And, like a man to double business bound, I stand in pause where I shall first begin and both neglect. What if this cursed hand were thicker than itself with brother's blood? Is there not rain in the heavens? Is there not rain enough in the sweet heavens to wash it white as snow? Where to serve mercy but to confront the visage of offense? And what's in prayer but this twofold force to be forestalled ere we come to fall or pardoned being down? Then I'll look up. My fault is past. But, oh, what form of prayer can serve my turn? Forgive me my foul murder. That cannot be, since I am still possessed of those effects for which I did the murder, my crown, mine own ambition, and my queen. May one be pardoned and retain the offense? In the corrupted currents of this world, offense's gilded hand may shove by justice, and oft 'tis seen the wicked prize itself buys out the law, but 'tis not so above. There is no shuffling. There, the action lies in its true nature, and we ourselves compelled even to the teeth and forehead of our faults to give an evidence. What then? What rests? Try what repentance can, what can it not? Yet, what can it when one cannot repent? O wretched state, O bosom black as death, O limed soul that, struggling to be free, art more engaged, help angels, make a say. Bow stubborn knees, and hearts with strings of steel be soft as sinews of the newborn babe. May all be well.